Good morning. This morning we're going to change the subject. We're still going to be focused on the same person, but we're changing the subject just a little bit here. And I know we've been going through the book of the Revelation, but we're going to pause on that this morning. We're going to examine evidence for the resurrection. You know, we need to focus on the resurrection every day. That's an essential part of our Christian faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, you can't be saved. You can't even be saved if you don't believe in the resurrection. We're going to look at that this morning. You know, a lot of people say they believe Jesus rose from the dead. I've talked to many people all the time who say they believe Jesus rose from the dead, but their lives do not show what they say they are convicted of. And we live out our convictions every day. We live as what we believe every day. If we don't open up God's Word, if we won't ask God for anything, if we won't spend time with God, then we're not convicted that He's able to do anything for us. If we spend time watching Bonanza, we're more convicted that Hoss and Little Joe's going to help us out more than Jesus Christ. You know, TV, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not here to convict you of that. That's between you and God, but I believe with all my heart we need to spend time with Jesus. We've been focusing in the book of Revelation on the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was given to Him. It wasn't given to St. John. It was given to Jesus. It's the revealing of Christ. And this morning we're going to just turn and examine the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you got your Bibles, I hope and pray I give everybody a copy of what we're going to go, the scripture we're going to use. But if you can, go back, look this scripture up, and examine these scriptures. May not have time to wait on you to get to where them places are in the Bible this morning. We're running out of time, and I don't want to spend but one weekend on this. But this morning, we're going to examine the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. Many today say that Jesus did not rise from the dead. They try to disprove the resurrection with their biased arguments. Why can't they examine the evidence and see that the Christian faith is rooted in solid evidence? God hadn't called you to a blind faith. This is because they come to evidence with presuppositions. You say a presuppo what? A presupposition. This is what they presuppose to be true when they examine the evidence. A presupposition is just what you presuppose to be true when you come to the evidence. Evolutionists have come to the same evidence that creationists do, but they presuppose God don't exist, so they root God out of the picture to begin with. But one that examines the evidence will presuppose that miracles are impossible and that Jesus did not rise from the dead. So they start out examining the evidence with their minds made up that miracles are impossible. Normally, we would start off arguing from the point of atheistic arguments. Normally, I would show you, and eventually we will, that atheistic arguments have failed. And if we can show that atheistic arguments have failed, then we can move on to show evidence for God. Eventually, we're going to get into this. And the Bible is God's Word. And from there, we would show that Jesus is who He said He was, or is, and that He is God. Then we would move on to show that Jesus rose from the dead and proved His claim to deity with His resurrection. This morning, we're going to start out with the presupposition. We're going to go ahead and presuppose that the atheistic arguments have failed, and they do, that there is evidence for God, and there is. The Bible is His Word, and Jesus is who He says He is, and that He is God. We're going to go ahead and argue from the viewpoint that that the Bible is the Word of God, there's evidence for God, God exists, and go ahead and presuppose Jesus to be God, and we're going to just argue from the resurrection. This is called presuppositional apologetics. We're going to defend the faith of the resurrection from that viewpoint. Eventually, when we get through our study of prophecy, I'm going to take you back through these things and show you that the atheistic arguments have failed. There is evidence for God. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus was who He said He is. And then we'll go on to prove the resurrection. But this morning, we're just going to focus on the resurrection. First, I want to start out with the fact that the Christian faith is not irrational. And it's not illogical. It's not against logic. It's not against rational reasoning. The Christian faith isn't. Some teach that there is no evidence for the Christian faith. But you have just got to believe. You've got to take a blind leap of faith into the land of irrationality and just believe the Bible's true. This is called fideism. Fideism teaches that there is no objective evidence. Objective evidence is evidence that could be submitted in a court of law. It is a solid empirical evidence. Empirical means something you can taste, touch, smell, or hear. But people believe there's no objective evidence for the Christian faith. But you have just got to take a blind leap of faith. That's what you hear people when they argue about, oh, we don't need that knowledge. We need to be dumb Christians. Well, let's let the world have the knowledge. We ought to just study the Word of God and be dumb. We ought not try to defend the Bible. That's hogwash, and that's baloney. I believe we ought to teach our kids that we're not basing our belief on just some subjective feeling that we've got, but there is solid evidence for the Christian faith. Evidence that could be submitted into a court of law, and if submitted into a court of law, no jury would be able to go against it. This has been done. Christianity is like no other belief system on earth. It is rooted in history. All other belief systems on the earth asked you to believe in a system of religion that's based upon a subjective experience. In other words, on what you feel. And is not rooted in any historical event. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, all ask you to believe in their belief systems. You could take Muhammad out of the picture. You could take Gandhi out of the picture. You could take Buddha out of the picture. And their belief systems will go on. But Christianity does not ask you to believe in a belief system, but in a person. In a person. We must believe that Jesus is who He says He is and died as the Bible tells us He did and believe that He rose from the dead as eyewitnesses say He did. We must believe in the person of Jesus Christ. He's rooted in history. As a lawyer, theologian, and philosopher, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery points out, the historic Christian claim differs in quality from the claims of all other world religions at the foundational point on the issue of testability. You can test the Christian proofs. God wants you to. Jesus even told Thomas, says, come here, put your hand in my side. Put your hand in my handprints, in the nail print, and see that it is I. Test me. God even calls on us to test Him over in Malachi when they're giving our tithes and offerings. Prove Him. He wants us to. He's not against questions. But Christianity states its claim to truthfulness on historical events open to critical investigation. And only this explains the number of conversions by skeptics throughout history. Indeed, other religions of the world are believed in despite the lack of genuine evidence. People all over the world this morning are worshiping other faiths, other religions, despite evidence. There is no evidence to support what they believe. For their true claims, only Christianity can claim credibility because of such evidence. Regrettably, what is often overlooked in the field of comparative religion today is that no genuine, historical, objective evidence exists for the foundational religions. There's no evidence for the foundational religions of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, or any other religion than Christianity. Christianity is the only belief that is rooted in history. If you can disprove one of the historical claims through this Bible, if you can disprove that Father Abraham never lived, then you can disprove the whole system. It's rooted in history. As scientists, Christian apologists, and biblical commentator, Dr. Henry Morse, he observed, as a matter of fact, the entire subjective evidence of what you feel, is almost exclusively the domain of Christian evidences. Other religions depend on subjective experience and blind faith, tradition, and opinion. Christianity stands or falls upon the objective reality of gigantic supernatural events in history, and the evidence is therefore, this fact in itself is an evidence of its truth. In other words, Christianity stands upon super gigantic historical events. If they can be disproved, then the whole system will fall. Super gigantic historical events. No one today would argue that Jesus didn't live. There are some that try to say it. There are many atheists today arguing that point. But it's hard to disprove Jesus didn't live when you got so much historical evidence that He did. Evidence is defined in the Orthodox American Dictionary as anything that establishes a fact or give reason for believing something. If statements made or objects produced in a law court as proof or to support a case. Now, to examine the resurrection, we've got to examine the question first, are miracles possible? Are miracles possible? A man named David Hume lived in 1711 to 1706. He did not think miracles was possible, and he argued like this. This was his presuppositional thought when he came to the Bible. Miracles are a violation of the laws of nature. The laws of nature cannot be violated. Therefore, miracles cannot occur. This is what this man believed. He came to the evidence already in his mind that a miracle can't occur because it is a violation of the laws of nature. In order to answer that, we must understand what the laws of nature are. Or what are the laws of nature? The laws of nature are descriptive. They describe what happens. In other words, they describe what is possible, but not always have to occur like that. They are the usual way things operate under observation. The laws of nature. In other words, the law of gravity says you cannot keep anything heavy in the air. Can't keep anything heavy in the air. What is a miracle? A miracle is God performing a supernatural work in the natural realm. He does something to supersede or transcend the law of nature. See, every time an airplane takes off, it don't violate the law of nature. It supersedes the law of gravity. It don't violate it, it supersedes it. The airplane is not violating the law of nature, just superseding it. So if there is a miracle claim, then we ought to investigate it. This is what we would do this morning. We're going to investigate. Now this morning I am holding a newspaper from 1 year ago. It's on the resurrection. There are two sides here. One side, one argument in this newspaper is that Jesus only spiritually rose from the dead. We're going to examine some scriptures this morning. Your first scripture there is Matthew 28:6. Matthew 28:6. Did Jesus just spiritually rise from the dead? Matthew 28:6 says, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Come see where the place... Now, if He only rose spiritually, then they would not have been asked to examine the place where Jesus lay, because the body would still be there, right? If He only rose spiritually. Jesus told them He would rise bodily. Now, if He only rose spiritually, you couldn't get an examination of where the body lay. John 2:19 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. John 2:20 then said the Jews, 46 years this temple is in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body. And you know the Jews went on to understand that later on because they had Pilate to get a guard to go and seal that tomb because they knew that He would rise after 3 days. He told them that, and they understood this. Right? Jesus told them that He would rise bodily. John 20:27. Then saith He to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now either God made a fake body and wounds to deceive the apostles, or it was the same body. Read Luke 24:36-43. In verse 39, Jesus says, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He said, Examine my hands. Examine my side. Look at the scars on me. See that it is I. And for people saying that we're not going to resurrect with the same body, that's baloney too. Jesus resurrected with the same body, but now it's glorified. He had the scars to prove it. We do not have supernatural powers in our natural body, but one day we will have. Here in Luke 24:39, He even eats fish with the disciples. A spirit doesn't eat fish. No, it doesn't. But the debate comes from 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. Get home and study this. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44, people debate this. They try to say it's a spiritual resurrection. So, and Paul said, So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Now, notice the word it here. It is buried. It is raised. It is sown. It. What is sown? The natural body. And it is the natural body is raised a spiritual body. Right?
So the Bible there proves the word "it" is not a spiritual resurrection, but an actual resurrection of the body. The word "it" ties that in there. Are miracles possible? Yes. If God exists, then miracles are possible. And as I have said, I can show good evidence that God exists. Every miracle claim should be investigated. Have you ever noticed that though every skeptic attacks the resurrection, this is the one point they will attack, the resurrection. Why? Because even the skeptics realize that the true claims of Christianity rested on the resurrection. This is why the tomb of Jesus theory that came out a month or two ago, it came out because they're trying to attack the resurrection. These people, though, do you know that tomb was actually discovered in 1980? It wasn't discovered last week or a month ago. It was discovered in 1980. Why'd they just now come out with it? Because they seen how much money old Dan Brown made out of the Da Vinci Code, and they wanted a piece of it. This ain't my own words. I've heard many scholars say this. I do a lot of reading. This is what other scholars have also said. But I said it before I read that they said it. They just wanted some money. That's all they wanted. They wanted financial gain, they want popularity, and they want fame. And most people will attack the resurrection. The resurrection this morning is important for two reasons. There's two reasons that are important for the resurrection. One, Christianity rests on the resurrection. And number two, you cannot be saved if you reject the resurrection. If you reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Now, one day I'm going to teach on basic Christian beliefs that one must believe in order to be saved. But this morning I'm going to prove what I just said. 1 Corinthians 15:12, Paul said, "Now that if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are also found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." We're false witnesses this morning if Christ is not raised. I'm a false witness. Or Paul saying he's a false witness, but I'd be a false witness too. I'd be preaching something that happened that never happened. For if the dead rise not, then it is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If Christ is not raised, then we're still in our sins. Right? Now, Romans 10:8-9. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." If you deny the resurrection, you can't be saved. Amen? Let's examine some evidence for the resurrection. First thing I want to start out with is the evidence of the Roman guards. The evidence of the Roman guards. First, we see that even the Jews expected Christ to resurrect. The Jews expected Christ to resurrect. In Matthew 27:62-66, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore," listen to that, "command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." You have a watch. Right? Some believe that this was the regular temple guard. But this does not fit. The word here in the Greek is custodia, and the Latin is custodia. It's the same word we get our word custodian from. It's changed a lot of meaning. A lot of meaning. It doesn't mean a janitor. This was an armed guard. This is where we get our word custodian from. It has changed meaning a lot since then, but it is not the regular temple guard because they asked Pilate. What they asked Pilate? Matthew 27:64. "Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure." He said, "You have a watch. Go your way. Make it sure as you can." And they asked Pilate that, to command that the grave be made sure until the third day. Pilate told them, this is what I believe the way it should be read. You've got a guard. Now go. They went to Pilate. They didn't say, now let us take our temple guard and make sure. It says, you command a guard. They asked Pilate to command that the sepulchre be made sure. He says, you have a guard. Go. And that God's Word translation says that. Pilate told them, you have the soldiers you want for guard duty. Go and make the tomb secure. The Message Bible says, Pilate told them, you will have a guard. Go ahead and secure it the best you can. Alright? The Roman guards prove that the resurrection is good evidence for the resurrection because of the Roman guards was put there. Also, the fact that they put a Roman seal on the tomb proves that the Roman government was in charge of guarding this tomb. This fact helps us see how the resurrection was a supernatural act. No one would have overpowered these Roman soldiers. They were the mightiest killing force on the earth at the time. Think about it. Would these soldiers have fallen asleep? Absolutely not. They claimed to have fallen asleep, and the Jews were to secure them before the governor. Why? So they would not die. But I believe they was put to death anyway. Why? Look, if that Roman seal had been broken, and it was, you'd have had the FBI, the CIA, and the Secret Service of the Roman Empire around that tomb investigating why that seal had been broken. Why? Because Caesar's seal was put on the thing. You didn't mess with nothing that had Caesar's seal on it. And a full investigation went forward after that seal was broken and Jesus come out of that grave. So the fact that the Romans was guarding the tomb proves the resurrection. Nobody would have come and stole the body. Now the next piece of evidence we've got is the fact of the women coming to the tomb. Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. Some would ask why Mary Magdalene and the other Mary was going to a tomb that a Roman guard was guarding. Well, they didn't know that. Remember, they went back home because the high Sabbath was drawing near. And during that time, on the Sabbath, the high priest went to Pilate. They didn't know that a Roman guard was guarding this tomb. So they went to anoint him with spices, and they were wondering, who in the world is going to roll this stone away? I don't know. And someone asked, this would prove right here that the resurrection took place. Because then in Matthew there, they see an angel, and then they saw Jesus and were commanded to go and tell the disciples that he was risen. During this time, women were not allowed to testify. You do not build a faith during this time in history upon a woman's testimony. And the fact that they did proves the resurrection truth. If they were trying to propagate a lie, they wouldn't have said that the women seen him first and went back and testified. Because during this time, a woman couldn't even testify during a court of law. Her testimony was meant as nothing. But the fact that they recorded it in the Word of God proves that the resurrection took place, because if they were trying to build a lie or build up a mythological belief that he resurrected, they wouldn't use the testimony of a woman. Not during this time. The fact of the empty tomb and the silence of Christ's enemies for 200 years are also proof for the resurrection. There are many theories put forth that the disciples stole the body. And I said it wasn't possible. You got the Roman guard. You got the mightiest killing force on the earth guarding this tomb. They're not going to come and overpower these men. And I can't, it escapes me how many Roman guards were actually there. There were so many guards put to guard every 4 feet of ground. 4 feet of ground, one guard. That's a lot of guards. Right? It escapes me how many there was. But the disciples, some propagated that they went to the wrong tomb. The Jews try to say, well, they just went to the wrong tomb. Well, why didn't the Jews correct them and go to the right one and say, here's his body? But they didn't. No, if the Jews could have produced the body, they would have. The fact that Paul writes during the same generation and says that many saw him alive after the resurrection is proof for the resurrection. It'd be like us saying today, those of us that would have been alive and seen Elvis die, saying he's not dead. Or saying that he didn't die the way he died. You know, nobody would be able to argue that during this generation, that he's not dead. There's some people who are trying to come out with it in these stupid Inquirer magazines. But I'm not an Inquirer mind of that junk. You know what I'm saying? But look, Elvis is dead. Nobody can prove to me that he's not. I can take you to his grave. Right? But Paul, right during the same generation, is saying, look, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said, I'm delivering to you what was in the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that He was seen of about 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul said, you don't believe me? There's 500 brethren He appeared to, and most of them are alive right now. Go ask them. You know, nobody stood up during that time and refuted that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Now, Paul said that Peter saw Christ, then 500 brethren. No one writing during this time or this generation of the events said it was not true. Too many people would have been able to dispute these facts had they been false. Too many people, too many eyewitnesses. Also, why did James, the Lord's brother, start believing in him? Remember James? What changed this? Remember in John 7:5, it says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. What changed James' mind? He seen Jesus resurrected. Amen? Last of all, we got Paul. Many today have claimed to have seen Jesus. Also, we got the account of Paul. Why would Paul start believing in Christ? He wanted to annihilate this belief. He wanted to stop this heresy, as he called it. Being a witness to the resurrection was a condition for being an apostle. Notice that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:8, and last of all, he was seen of me. People today claim to see Jesus, they liar. Last of all, he was seen of me. Right? Look, a condition for being an apostle was that you had to have seen Jesus. There are no more apostles. Last of all, he was seen of Paul. Many today have claimed to have seen Jesus, but this is not true. He was seen last by Paul. Many claim today that there are apostles, and this is not true. In order to be an apostle, one would have to see the resurrected Christ. Remember, in Acts, Peter stood up and said one needed to be appointed to replace Judas. And what was the qualification? He had to have been a witness from the beginning. Paul, though, seen him, Jesus instituted him as an apostle because he's seen him later on. He's seen him. And there were other people around that actually heard the voice from heaven, but didn't see who it was that spoke to him. But that is one qualification of apostle. And right now, the church has been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. There is no fivefold ministry, but only a one-fold ministry left in the church. As some claim, there's only one-fold ministry, and that's the pastor. You got the apostle laid the foundation, the prophets laid the foundation, the evangelist was the missionary. Then you got the pastors and teachers. That's one office. Look it up in the Greek. You got the pastors and teachers. A pastor must be out to teach. There were elders, plural, in them churches back then. Not one elder, not one pastor, but elders, bishops. Acts 1:21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness of the resurrection. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:1, am not I an apostle? Am not I free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? So if a man comes up and tells you, today he's an apostle, ask him, has he ever seen Jesus Christ? So number five, the fifth proof that Jesus rose from the dead. What changed Peter from a scared denier of Jesus to a Holy Ghost-filled bold proclaimer of the resurrection on the day of Pentecost? The only thing that could account for this is that he saw the resurrected Lord. He saw the resurrected Lord. What changed these men from being meek and humble and hiding behind a door? They were hiding behind the door locked in fear of the Jews. What changed that? They seen Jesus resurrected. Number six, if the disciples were trying to invent a new faith, then why go back into the same city where Christ was crucified? They were trying to invent or come up with a new faith, and Jesus didn't really resurrect, then why go back to the same city where he was crucified? Why not go to Athens? Why not go to Antioch? Why not go somewhere else and try to propagate a new faith? Why go back to the same city where hundreds of people seen him crucified? Right? The fact that they went back to the same city proves that he resurrected from the grave. Nobody could produce the body. And they went back right into the same city where the man was crucified. and proclaim that He rose from the dead. Amen? The fact that the disciples died for what they believed is also evidence. Some would say, so what? The Muslims die for what they believe. Yeah. But a man will die for what he believes to be true, but he will not die for what he believes to be a lie.